You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. الحمد لله, we entered into the first Hijri month of Al-Muharram, from the sacred month. And when we mention the beginning of the new year, it always comes to mind that the new year should be a new beginning for us. Make muhasaba to ourselves, what happened in the past. And we have hope in Allah, and we make dua that this new year will be a new year where we get more closer from Allah, where we will fix ourselves, where it will be a year where we change so many of the bad habits and we start to plan for success in this life and in the next life, on a secular level, on a spiritual level, all levels. And mentioning that, we look back to the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We always remember the hijrah, the migration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because the migration of the Prophet was actually a new beginning. Some of the ulama said, without the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Islamic state and the Islamic khilafah and the new era that Rasulullah established wouldn't have happened. So the hijrah was a real factor in the success of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why when the sahaba made the ta'rikh, the history, they said, how are we going to start the Muslim calendar? They started from the hijrah. The scholars differed among themselves. Some said, how to start the Muslim calendar? Should we start it with the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like how the Nasara started their calendar with the birth of Jesus, peace be upon him? Or should we start it with when the revelation came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the age of 40, and from there we start the tariq, the Hijri calendar, the calendar, the Muslim calendar? But then they agreed upon the idea to start the calendar from the hijrah, the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And why is that? Because that hijrah was a decisive and a big change in the life of the Muslim ummah. The hijrah of Rasulullah was basically all the success and the futuhat and the establishment of the Muslim khilafah. It started from the hijrah of Rasulullah. So consider today that the hijrah, like how it changed the first generation, it can change the life of every single one of us who is present in here today. We will talk about very important lessons that we extract from the hijrah. So pay attention and listen carefully until the end, inshallah. Often when we speak about the hijrah, We think of that historical narrative. We think of the historical, the Prophet ﷺ was there and he was persecuted in Mecca, so he had to migrate, and the journey of the migration itself, and he reached there, Medina, طلع البدر علينا من ثنيات الوداع, and the beautiful, most of you know that historical narrative. But there are so many lessons that you can extract from the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Before mentioning the lessons that I want you to keep in mind, inshallah, and there are so many lessons, so I'll try to summarize to the best of my ability. We have to mention that there are two different types of hijrah, two different categories of hijrah. One is al-hijratul maddiyah, and one is al-hijratul ma'nawiyah. The physical hijrah and the spiritual hijrah. What is the physical hijrah? Physical hijrah, you migrate by yourself, your body, your soul, you move from a place and stay there in another place forever. That's called hijrah. Different from travel, journey. You travel and you come back. No, that's not a hijrah. Hijrah literally means migration. Physical migration, al-hijratul maddiya. You go, you settle somewhere else. That's al-hijratul maddiya. Al-hijratul ma'nawiya, the spiritual hijrah, is to forsake the haram. to forsake the evil, to forsake the evil people and the evil places, and to forsake the sins, and to change yourself, and to be closer from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to hajir ila Allah. That physical hijrah of Rasulullah sallam and the first generations and the salihin throughout history, it is to establish that spiritual hijrah. So let not anyone who's sitting here today say, how can I make hijrah? The main essence of hijrah is to hajj, your heart is to migrate to Allah, to forsake the haram and to come to Allah. So every single Muslim must do hijrah, but a spiritual hijrah to Allah Azza wa Jal. And then a physical hijrah too. Even a physical hijrah? Even a physical hijrah. How? If the situation in your land, in your country, in your place does not allow you to practice your deen, or to obey Allah, or to obey Rasulullah, then here it is recommended for you to migrate and to leave that place, not to sit there and just lose your deen. So the first lesson of the hijrah is the hijrah itself. First lesson that we learn from the hijrah is the actual hijrah, is the migration itself, whether spiritual migration or physical migration. If your rizq is tight somewhere, migrate fi sabilillah. If your rizq is tight somewhere, your provision, can't find sustenance here, move on. The land of Allah is vast. Inna al-arda lillah. The land belongs to Allah. It's not someone's land. It's, all of us are migrants somehow. All of us are migrants somehow. Your ancestors, the ancestors, even if you go back, we all came from Adam and Eve. So how did humanity increase? All of us somehow migrants. Or our parents, or grandparents, or ancestors. And that hijrah, especially for the deen, is a must. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about those people who followed blindly their seniors and the oppressors. The angels on the day of judgment will question them and say, فِيمَا كُنْتُمْ قَالُوا كُنَّا مُسْتَضْعَفِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. They said, we were weak on earth and we just followed our seniors and the tyrants amongst us. So then Allah, the angels will ask them and say, أَوَلَمْ تَكُنْ أَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعَةً فَتُهَاجِرُ فِيهَا. Wasn't the land of Allah vast? So you can travel there and migrate from that place where you cannot practice your deen. If you find that you cannot practice your deen somewhere, migrate fi sabilillah, like the prophets. Ibrahim migrated from Iraq to Sham. Lut alayhi salam migrated as well. Allah mentioned that in the Noble Quran. We said Lut believed and he migrated to Allah. Sayyidina Musa migrated, firaran bidini, right, from the pharaohs. Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated. Sayyidina Yusuf migrated, Sayyidina Yaqub migrated, the Anbiya throughout history migrated. Understand, Yahweh? And the Sahaba migrated. When you find that you're not able to practice your deen somewhere, or maybe there is no deen in that place, don't think of migration as, I have to migrate from a country to another country. Not necessarily. Mecca and Medina still in the same country. It wasn't the country at that time, but it's still the same area. Right? So, no, that town, there is no Islam around me. No Muslims around me, no masjid, no madrasa. Go somewhere else where you can find madrasa and masjid. That's why I advise people who come and say, I'm going to travel to America. I'm going to travel to Canada. I'm going to travel to here, to there. Great. That's good. But when you go there, make sure you go there and you establish a Muslim community, or you go to a Muslim community. Why? For your children to grow up on the deen of Allah. You thinking only of the dunya investment? I want to secure the sustenance for my children, but what about securing the akhirah? If you're going to secure the sustenance from them, but they go there from 8 o'clock in the morning right until 6 o'clock in the evening in non-Muslim schools, and they're learning only Western things and Western trends, etc., and then they lose their deen, what did you achieve? You lost a lineage of iman. That's your child is from your hasanat. Whatever he does from good is going to be in your scale of hasanat. But what if you lost your child? No, there's no deen around. I didn't think about that, Shaykh. You need to think about it. Make sure your children around a Muslim community, and there is a deeni environment around. And if there isn't, you establish it yourself. You come together and you start to establish a Muslim community like how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam did so. Understand, Yaqwa? Tayyib. Beside that, so the first lesson of the hijrah is al-hijratul that you make hijrah fi sabilillahi azza wa jalla to establish al-hijrah al-ma'nawiyya, the spiritual hijrah, to be able to practice the deen and to be close from pious people and from salihin. طيب, the next one, the next lesson that we learn from the hijrah, the lesson of planning. And this lesson, we need it, one of the most needed lessons the ummah need today, this lesson of planning. We don't plan. They say, if you don't plan, you will be a mark in the plans of others. If you don't plan, you will be planned for. Some people will plan for you, and they will put you in their plans, and you will be maf'ulun bihi. People will, you will be a reaction only, like what the condition of the ummah now. We don't plan. Some other countries, they plan 10 years, 50 years, 100 years, they plan. We don't plan. The ummah need to plan. How to be revived, how to stand up again, how to rise as the ummah, how to establish a khilaf again. But if we don't plan, we're not going to achieve. Rasulullah planned. In the hijrah, he planned. Let's take some examples of the planning of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Part of the planning of Rasulullah was to choose the companion. This is a lesson by itself. Choose the sahib. Choose the friend. Who's going to be with me? Where I'm going to go? Who's surrounding me? Making sure that you surround yourself with good companions, good people around you. Why? To strengthen you. So you're planning? You're planning for hijrah? You're planning for something to achieve from the deen? You need to make sure that around you are good suhbah. Al-mar'u ala deeni khaleelih. فَلْيَنْظُرْ أَحَدُكُمْ مَنْ يُخَالِلْ. A person will be affected by the morale of his friends, of his companions. So make sure that you around you are good people. لَا تُصَاحِبْ إِلَّا مُؤْمِنًا وَلَا يَأْكُلْ طَعَامَكَ إِلَّا تَقِيلٌ. The Prophet says, make sure when you take a friend as a mu'min, a believer. And who enters your house is taqi. Doesn't mean that who enters my house, generally speaking, so non-Muslims cannot enter my house. No, they can. But we're talking about who enters my house often, all the time. He enters my house, I enter his house, a close friend. التقي. The taqi is around me. The atqiya, the salihin around me. So those people will support you. Part of the planning is to surround yourself with good companions. If you look around, you don't find good companions, you are in danger. Your children are in danger. So that's the first thing that Rasulullah did in the hijrah. Part of the planning lesson that we are learning is that he chose a companion. Who? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. He chose a companion, Ali radiallahu anhu, to sleep in his bed, to delay the disbelievers' search for him. That's part of the planning. Part of the planning to inform Asma radiallahu anha, the daughter of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, to prepare the food for Rasulullah sallam when he's there in the cave. Part of the planning to prepare someone to walk after Rasulullah sallam with the sheep. With his sheep, in order to miss the traces of the footsteps of Rasulullah, because the kuffar of Quraysh will follow the traces. Where did he move? Where did he walk? And the Arabs are very famous for that. Qassu al-athar. They used to trace who walked here. And they know. The Arabs are very smart. In some people, especially in Bedouin areas, they know exactly how old is the person who walked here through the footsteps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Footsteps, the footprint, they can tell you, is she pregnant or not? This is a cow, this is a buffalo, this they can tell you just from the footprint. So Rasulullah already knew that. So he planned that someone from the Sahaba will walk with his sheep behind them. Why? To miss around all the footprints. Part of the planning was not to go straight to Medina. Medina is in the north. But part of the planning of Rasulullah was to go to the south. Why? He planned. Some of you played chess. So chess, you think ahead. You think of 2, 3, 4 steps ahead. So Rasulullah already thought of the next step of the disbelievers. He thought that once when we disappear, they're going to look north towards Medina. I'm going to go south. Where? To Ghar Thawr, to the cave of Thawr. We're going to hide there for some time until they give up searching. Then we move on to, turn around Mecca and go to Medina. This was the plan of Rasulullah SAW. And he started the plan completely as he planned for it. But even after he planned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, still the kuffar of Quraysh came exactly in front of the cave. After they searched all around, they returned back to the cave and they stood there by the cave of Ghar Thawr. And here there is a lesson. You can plan, you can do everything. And if Allah does not support, it won't work at all. Sometimes you plan, you study, you do everything in your capacity and it's not working. Allah wants to teach you a lesson. Everything is in the hands of Allah. So while you're planning, you understand this lesson of tawakkul. While you have the lesson of plan in your mind, have tawakkul ala Allah. Only by Allah I can achieve. Only through Allah I can achieve. A'qilha wa tawakkal. I do all my, everything is in my capacity. I do the planning, I do everything. Ya Rab, everything is in your hands. Help me. That's what Rasulullah was doing. And he was making dua. And in the cave with his friend, the kuffar came right through. Allah wants to teach a lesson to Rasulullah. And then the kuffar looking around and they're thinking whether to enter or not to enter the cave. And then Abu Bakr Siddiq said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, لو نظر أحدهم تحت قدميه لرآنا. If any one of them just look under his feet, they're going to see us. We will be history. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, لا تحزن إن الله معنا. Don't panic, Allah is with us. Allahu Akbar. It's a lesson. This is a lesson by itself. It's a lesson of tawakkul, reliance upon Allah Azza wa Jal. My Rabb won't let me down. It's a lesson of jabrul khatir. When you see your companion around you down or fearful, your husband, your wife, your children, your friend, your companion, sometimes they fear. It's natural. Sometimes they hassle. Sometimes they fear. They stress. لا تحزن إن الله معنا. Don't worry, Allah is with us. We're not alone. The same was stated by Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam when he also migrated from the Pharaoh. And then the companions of Sayyidina Musa, they feared. They said, Ya Musa, they're going to catch us. They said, Inna la mudrakun. Qala kalla inna ma'ya rabbi sayahdeen. He said, Nay, I have my Lord is going to guide me. Same thing, almost the same thing. I have my Lord. And Rasulullah said, Inna Allah ma'ana. Ma dhannuka bithnain. Allahu thalithahuma. What do you think of two? Allah is their third. So Rasulullah taught this important lesson to all of us, that you have tawakkul ala Allah. You trust Allah Azza wa Jal. And so the kuffar couldn't enter. وَأَيَّدَهُ بِجُنُودٍ لَمْ تَرَوْهَا. Allah saved the Prophet ﷺ in a mysterious way. We don't know what happened exactly. Some mentioned the story of the bird and the story of the... Could be, but not authenticated stories. But in any way, Allah saved him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another important lesson we learn. The tawakkul of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The kuffar was surrounding his house by then. At that time when Rasulullah was still, he didn't start the journey yet, he was still in his house. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he let Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib to sleep in his bed to delay them. Because they look from the holes of the door. They look, they see him still sleeping. So they wait for him. They were waiting for him until he comes out for Fajr Salah. They'll kill him. That was the plan of the kuffar. But Rasulullah sallam, with the dhikr of Allah on his tongue, remembering Allah Azza wa Jal, opened the door. While reciting, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. The miracle took place. They couldn't see anything. The Prophet took some sand and threw it on top of the heads of the kuffar. And he went from in between them and he closed the door. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they were still there. Standing, couldn't see anything. This is a miracle. It's a miracle. Allah Azza wa Jal supported this Prophet with a miracle. Some say, when we speak about the miracles of Rasulullah, we say, the Quran. The Quran is the eternal, permanent miracle of Rasulullah SAW indeed. But beside the Quran, Rasulullah did so many miracles that Ibn Kathir rahimahullah in his book, The Mu'jizat of Rasulullah SAW, he mentioned 1,000 miracles of Rasulullah SAW. Sallu ala Rasulullah. Say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 1,000 miracles. Among them is this one. Coming out, no one could see him at all. And this tawakkul ala Allah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another important lesson to take into consideration, the tadhiyah. The sacrifice of Ali radiallahu anhu. He was ready to sacrifice himself. Maybe the kuffar could have killed him. But he was ready for that. To protect Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu was also sacrificing. A narration says that he was trying to, while they were in the cave, he was trying to close the holes with his legs and hands. Why? Fearing that maybe a scorpion or a snake will come from there and harm the Prophet. And so he's trying to close all the holes around. And in the journey, as they were walking, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was seen walking from the right side of the Prophet, from the left side of the Prophet, sometimes from in front, sometimes from the back. So Rasulullah asked him, why are you doing this, Abu Bakr? He said, Ya Rasulullah, I think when I'm coming through a certain dangerous area, I figure out that maybe the arrow is going to come from this side. So I come on this side, so it comes to me first. When I think that the arrow is going to come from this side, I come. From front, I come front. From the back, I come front. He was ready to sacrifice for Rasulullah. All the Sahaba sacrificed for the deen to come to all of us today. This deen that we find easy, this deen that we practice, the salah, the zakah, the hajj, sawm, ibadah, etc., that came to us and is as clear as the sun today, it is because of the sacrifice of the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Make sure to keep the deen intact. Make sure to spread the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like how it came to you, make sure at least to keep your children on the deen of Allah azza wa jal. To bring them up on the deen of Allah azza wa jal. To spread the deen of Allah azza wa jal. The sacrifice of the ancestors here also. To keep the deen here, we need to keep the legacy. Keep the legacy of the ancestors of this country. Understand, ya ikhwa? Another important lesson that we need to keep into consideration, because we're running out of time, unfortunately. The time is very limited, but we'll try to cover this in some other time. The lessons of the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One last lesson I'm mentioning, that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Madinatul Munawwara, what was the first thing that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did? What was the first thing that he did? Practically. The first thing that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did was the establishment of the masjid. He started the masjid. That shows the importance of the masjid wherever you go. The masjid was the center of the ummah. As soon as we establish a masjid anywhere in Africa, when we give da'wah, deen flourishes in this area. Make sure to invest in masajid, ya ikhwah. Make sure to maintain the masajid which already is in existence. To take care of the masjid, to pay for the masjid. In some countries, people have to take membership for their churches. We don't do that for our masajid. But who's going to take care of the masajid? The ummah should take care of the masajid. Everyone can say, my masjid. I make salah here, I benefit from here, I learn the deen, my children learn the deen. I must contribute something towards the masjid. To support the masjid. Or to build a masjid for Allah. Or to take part in the building of a masjid for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Or to establish an Islamic institute around, a madrasa or a masjid. Why? To keep the deen. Like how Rasulullah did it. He understood that. It's so important to establish the foundation for the ummah. If we come here, we leave, we did not establish anything, after a few generations, the deen will be, there will be no deen in this area. The ancestors, when they came here, awwal masjid, start madaris, masajid here around, this masjid itself, around 200 years ago, they established this masajid. For the deen to come here, alhamdulillah, we find masajid, we find madaris. We need to maintain that and take care of that and increase it, because the ummah increase. In some countries, in South America, etc., they did not have that vision. So the generations came after that. They have the name Ahmad, but they are Christian. They have the name Muhammad, but they are Christian. They left the deen. Why? They didn't invest in masajid. Rasulullah, as soon as he set his foot in Medina, established the masajid. Start to establish masajid. The second thing that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam did in Medina was jam'ul kalima, uniting the ummah. This is also we need today. We need today. Jam'ul kalima. Firstly, he united between the Muhajirin and the Ansar, the migrants and the Ansar of Medina. Every Ansar of Medina will carry someone from Mecca, meaning will take care of someone from Mecca, support him until he'll be able to be independent by himself. So listen, we need today, the Ummah need today. Especially in this time where there is xenophobia. We look down upon the migrants. He came from Egypt, he's going to steal my job. He came from India or from Pakistan. So many people, there is already unemployment. What are they going to do to us? You have tawakkul ala Allah. Those people, their situation is difficult. In Palestine, Palestinian people come to us. We need to stand together and support them. Some people say, I wish if I lived during the Prophet time. Wow, I would have been among the Ansar of Medina. I love them. They are have soft hearts. But you can be today the Ansar of today. You can be the Ansar of the Palestinian people or the Syrian people or those who are persecuted in their lands and they came to our lands. They need your support. Be the Ansar of today. Help them. Stand for them. Help them to find job. Help them to find some task, etc. Very important lesson for us to learn from the Hijrah. We want to learn these lessons in today's time. The unity of the Ummah. And Rasulullah, again, he made مؤاخاة, جمع الكلمة, uniting between the Aus and Khazraj. Aus and Khazraj were two tribes in Medina fighting against each other. Rasulullah unified their hearts together. He wanted to establish a community, an Islamic state. It will never happen while we are scattered. And in today's time, we are scattered. 56 countries. We will never be united again in the faces of the tyrants of today without uniting together our kalima again, standing together again. But in today's time, while the enemies are fighting us, oh, this is a Sufi, this is a Salafi, this is a... What are you doing, Ikhwa? What are we doing? Can you imagine the feelings of the Palestinian people when they see us fighting over these silly things and they are there being massacred and say the Ummah is fighting, who's a Sufi, who's a Salafi, who's this, who's that, who's that? Come on, guys. Let us be mature. We don't have that time now. Let us reunite around the pillars of Iman and Islam. And want to say, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Believe in the six tenets of Iman. Al-Imanu billahi wa malaikati wa kutubi wa rusuli wa al-qadr khayri wa sharri. واليوم الآخر. And practice the five pillars of Islam. He's a Muslim. We must get together. We must try to avoid any secondary things for now. To unite the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These lessons we need today. We need to make sure that we practice upon them. Not only to listen to it and we say, wow, is it inspiring? But we want to make sure that we are practicing every single lesson. There are so many other lessons, but inshallah, hopefully in the next Jumu'ah, we will talk more about the lessons of the Hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.